for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 14 Easter season hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Of course, this time of year, no matter how much a preacher avoids opening the Bible and actually preaching from the text of Scripture, during the other parts of the year, they need to open the Bible this time of the year. They need to at least do, well, what little Linus did in the Peanuts Christmas pageant in that cartoon from so many years ago. They have to at least reference or read Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Jesus. That doesn't guarantee that they're going to preach Jesus from that text. And a great example of that is Real Talk Kim. She manages somehow to tell the story of Jesus' birth without saying much about Jesus, but saying an awful lot about you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, Real Talk Kim's teaching on Jesus' birth in Luke 2. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Generally speaking, why are women Bible teachers and preachers so popular in evangelicalism today?
I think that there is a very kind of soft but still overt rebellion against the Word of God. And many in evangelicalism have bought the lie that the prohibitions against female pastors, as seen in the Pauline epistles, and Paul referencing Genesis chapter 3, that somehow that these are cultural manifestations and cultural prohibitions. And so you think back to Bill Hybels and his claim that that they were getting on board with the new thing that God the Holy Spirit is doing. So the best way I can put it is that the reason why evangelicalism has so many female pastors is because long ago they abandoned sola scriptura. They are, you know, overtly into believing that whatever the new thing that the Spirit is doing, and the Spirit apparently can contradict himself. And so that's part of what they're doing. It's been around for decades now, and it's only getting worse.
Who is Real Talk Kim?
So Real Talk Kim is a woman who nobody heard about until several years ago. T.D. Jakes gave her a national platform. He was one of these women that T.D. Jakes, discovered, and he platformed her on one of his women's conferences. And as a result of it, you know, she's been featured on reality TV shows. She's been interviewed by Dr. Oz. And she's, you know, one of these kind of rags to riches stories. And she's since become the head teaching pastor at a place called Limitless Church in Atlanta. And she's also been featured on, like, you know, Preachers of Atlanta reality show. She has over a million followers on Instagram. And I think she's just is the quintessential typical, I don't even know how to put this, you know, female pastor within charismatic NAR type circles.
Chris, how can someone possibly mess up Luke chapter 2?
Yeah, okay. How do you mess it up? It's real simple. You read yourself into the biblical text where you don't belong. She's going to be engaging in something we've talked about for years, and it's a form of eisegesis. Eisegesis is where you read something into the biblical text that's not there. But one of the major ways in which people twist the scriptures nowadays, especially in evangelical circles, is they narcissistically read themselves into the biblical text. And so when you approach the scripture with the idea that the Bible is really kind of an overlay for your life, and so whatever biblical passage you're reading, you then look for those types of patterns in your own life, it becomes about you and you finding your purpose, you being used by God. And so what they end up doing is taking the account of Christ's birth, the birth of our Savior, and then reading ourselves into it. And so in the first soundbite we're going to listen to, she's going to be kind of setting up this sermon. And the name of the sermon, by the way, is Home Alone. We're not even going to get to the video, movie clips at the end, which she plays as part of the sermon. But the best way I can put it is, as we listen to this first soundbite, she's going to be setting the table for what's going to be coming here. And let's see if we can identify how many different things are just wrong in this first bite.
I'm going to go from Luke. We're going to start at Luke. We're going to start at verse 1. My clips are coming from Home Alone. Have y'all seen Home Alone? Anybody Home Alone? Anybody Kevin? Anybody Kevin? Anybody Kevin? Y'all like, girl, I didn't even watch it. Y'all gonna want to go watch this when I'm done. All right? Home Alone, there's Kevin. And Kevin is, I understand Kevin, because I always felt like that I was the one getting left out. Anybody got that victim in your own story, bad spirit? That was me. I was a victim of my own story. I'm a girl. I should have been born a good boy. I could have been a preacher because I was raised in a religion that said you can't do none of that. And I was Kevin. Y'all remember in one of these clips, you're going to see Kevin comes down. Now you're going to see that because I shortened the clips. But he comes downstairs and he says, where's the cheese pizza? And Buzz, his bully brother, says, get it out of my belly. Right? Get it. And there's some cheese pizza. And Kevin is set up in this moment where he's feeling like, man, I'm not even important enough for this. Now, I'm going to say the clips to the end. So I'm going to start with the spiritual stuff at the front. Are y'all ready? Stay ready. Now, I'm going to need y'all to talk back to me. Okay, that's what we're going to do because I'm home. All right, and I heard y'all yelling him down last Sunday. I was like, oh, y'all done did it. Now, I'm going to take my shoes and my earrings off and start throwing them at each of you. Luke 2, starting at verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus agreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Key Irenus, boom, shagalaga. I said it. I didn't even call him Q. Key Irenus was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. Ain't no married ring on it. Ain't nothing. Catch the details.
Okay, Chris, I mean, at least she... Other preachers might have just gone straight to the clips of Home Alone and started using that as the text. At least she went to the Bible.
Yeah, so we'll give her half a point. And the thing is that at this time of the year, people in church expect to hear the Christmas account. They expect to hear the biblical text. But it's also at this time of the year where you can really see the juxtaposition between what the biblical text says and means and how people are twisting it up. So although she's setting it up by reading the biblical text, in the next bite, and I want to talk about what's wrong with this one first, in the next bite, we're going to see where she really jumps the tracks. But you're going to note the sermon itself, she made it clear that the good part is coming at the end when she gets to the Home Alone movie clips. And she makes it sound like Kevin McAllister of the Home Alone franchise somehow has like top marquee mark in the sermon rather than Jesus Christ. She wants to get that spiritual stuff, over and done with. And so that they can get the fun part with the movie clips. That was one of the things that just kind of raised the hackles. But the other bit here is that you'll note she couldn't even properly pronounce some of the names that were listed in the account that Luke gives us, where she was talking about Q. Irenaeus. It's actually kind of laughable, which shows that she hasn't applied herself to study this text, to rightly understand it, to speak it and read it out in a respectful, accurate way. She utilizes a bullpen. I don't know if we've talked about bullpens before, but where she says, now repeat after me. And Ben, when she says something profound, people in the front rows are like applauding and clapping. That's a form of manipulation. But at the very end, we heard her claim that Mary, that she didn't have a ring, kind of implying that she was an unmarried woman at the time of Christ's birth. And that isn't historically accurate either. And when we read the account from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, we learn that Mary is already betrothed to Joseph. And in the ancient, you know, first century Jewish culture, a betrothal can only end via a divorce. And so in order to call off a marriage once somebody is betrothed, even though the marriage hasn't been consummated yet, that's going to require a full divorce. And Joseph himself was considering divorcing Mary, even though he was betrothed to her. And then an angel appeared to him and said, no, it's true that what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the angel gives Joseph the name that Jesus is going to receive in this lifetime. And yeah, and that's the name Jesus, which is kind of the anglicized version of the Greek, which is a transliteration of the Hebrew, Yeshua. But already, I mean, just at the setup here in this sermon, there are so many things wrong, including the fact that you have a woman preaching, her claiming that it's religion that bars women from being preachers, to all the other things that we've said here. It's like, I'm not even confident at this point. I exhausted all the different ways in which just that little soundbite was off, and all these red flags should signal to a person that they need to run. They're not going to hear God's word rightly taught. They're under the teaching of somebody who was a wolf and a Bible manipulator and twister.
What's next?
So now we're going to get a little farther into the text, and there's a thing that she does here. She'll read a portion of it, and then she'll engage in narcissism. And she'll start inserting things and implying that the text is about something that it isn't. This is about the account of the birth of the Savior of humanity. But what she does next is just inexcusable and blasphemous.
And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snuggling in stripes of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. She could have said, like some of us, they're not giving me a room because of my condition. Right? I'm always left out because I didn't ask for this. Anybody in this room ever been at that place where something was avoidable or something you didn't even ask for? All of a sudden you've been, some of you were born into families like that where you ain't got no chance with this family. And all of a sudden you're trying to break the generational curse, but she's standing there and she could have easily turned into that place of becoming a victim. It says, and that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring joy, great joy, to all people. Verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Ain't it so cool how God can put you on even when you feel like you are in the bad corner? He was fixing this situation. This is how some of you are going to see in the next couple of weeks. You're going to watch as God takes that bad situation because he trusted you in a crisis. And now he goes and he there's no commercials, there's no TV, but he is somehow going to use a star to let the world know, right, that the Messiah is being born.
So what did she do there, and why do you call it blasphemous?
So it's utterly blasphemous that she would take the words of the angel, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and the announcement of the angels, which then results in this hymn that we sing every week in the liturgy, glory to God in the highest, right? And she no sooner gets the words out of her mouth of the angel announcing the birth of a savior, and she says, isn't it cool how God can put you on? Somehow, as if this has anything to do with some kind of a pattern. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Savior. I'm the sinner that Christ came to bleed and die for. I'm the one who needs saving. And she thinks that the announcement of the angel of the birth of Christ somehow is an example of how God can put me on and highlight how amazing I am. It's blasphemous of like a satanic order. It's so misdirected and so internally and narcissistically focused on me that I'm surprised that nobody got up and walked out because of just how breathtakingly awful it is that she's hijacked this text to turn it into something about me when it's not.
So it shows how quickly this trivializes the words of Scripture. Talk a little bit about that.
At the end of the day, you're right, it trivializes it and takes the high Christology that we see here in Scripture and the great lengths that God has gone to save us and to rescue us. As Paul says in Philippians 2, that even though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself and was found in the form of a servant, became obedient to the point of death on a cross. I mean, the idea that God himself would take on human flesh in order to save us, and that doing so would result in him going to the cross and bearing our sin. We're talking about the most amazing demonstration of the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And you've turned it into, well, this is some kind of pattern that the angels are going to announce how great I am. God's going to put me on. God's going to put on display how amazing I am. It not only trivializes it, at the end of the day, it makes it so that it doesn't even matter if this is true or not. This is kind of like a narcissistic version of Aesop's fables. I mean, we could do this with the tortoise and the hare, and the idea then is, well, you know, just like the tortoise won at the end of the day, slow and steady wins the race. So that's the way God's going to work with you. It just turns this all into some kind of mythology that revolves around therapeutic concepts that, you know, I can talk, you know, with my therapist about. But it's not about God entering history, becoming one of us, being tempted in all the ways that we are tempted and yet without sin, and him then, God, laying on him the iniquity of us all, and so that we can be forgiven, reconciled, pardoned. This is just so bad on so many levels, because what the angels proclaimed to those shepherds that first Christmas was the exact good news that we all rejoice in as we draw closer to the actual celebration of the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. And it sounds to me like what she's saying is that the angels are basically ready to throw a party about how amazing you are, just the way same way they did for Jesus, which nothing could be further from the truth.
We will hear more from Real Talk Kim, teaching on Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2, and evaluate it with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith right after this. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 13 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2021, we're $128,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're discussing Real Talk Kim's teaching on Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you appreciate our weekly interviews with Chris Roseborough, please make a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for including Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. Chris, what should we be listening here for in this next cut?
All right, so in a similar narcissistic fashion, she's going to read a portion of the text and watch where she goes with it, where she's going to talk about how everybody is going to hear your story.
He says in verse 12, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. With the angels, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story was astonished. Everybody that hears your story, you had to go through what you went through so that God could set you up. If you wouldn't have walked through that divorce, if you wouldn't have walked through that addiction, if you wouldn't have walked through that church hurt, if you wouldn't have walked through that bad doctor's report, how's he gonna set you up? He got a way, somebody say it, he's got a way of doing the miraculous. You think people sleeping on you, but God just let them get their rest.
So she has completely and utterly analogized the good news of Christ's birth into the world.
Yeah, I fear that if Will Wheaton were to hear the soundbite, he might have a heart attack. Because what she's done is she's completely gutted the account of the birth of Christ, the announcement of the angels, the Gloria in Excelsis, and the shepherds going and seeing what it is that was announced to them, that completely gutted it of all of its messianic Christological meaning and turned it into, yeah, you see, this is how God works, and you know, he's setting you up, and wait till people hear your story of, you know, and how you got through that divorce or that bankruptcy or that terrible upset or whatever. I don't even have enough words to describe how bad this is. I'll just come back to, this is satanic. because the devil doesn't want you to hear the gospel. And this reminds me of the parable that Jesus tells where he talks about the different soils, you know, and that the word of God goes out and it lands on different soils. And so no sooner does the word of God go out, the great Christological pronouncement of the angels on that first Christmas, that the devil swoops in the form of this woman preacher and snatches up the word of God so that you can't hear the real gospel and what it really means. It no sooner lands on your heart, she comes in and does the work of the devil like the birds Christ describes and just takes that word of God and snatches it right up and takes your focus off of Jesus and puts it right back on yourself. But here's the issue. You're the problem. You're the one who needs to be saved. You're the sinner that Christ bled and died for. Christ is the solution that you and I need. And this isn't about how angels are going to announce how glorious you are. This is about them proclaiming how glorious God is in having mercy and bringing Jesus so that we can reconcile and have that peace with God that they sang about. And she's not pointing people to that. She's putting them right back onto themselves.
What's in cut four?
Cut four. Did you know that COVID had something to do with the first Christmas? I didn't know that either. Well, she's going to now pull the COVID pandemic into the Christmas story.
The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. 2019, all the way through 2021. How many of you can believe that we're almost going into 2022? Like, y'all, we in Christmas. How did that happen? Have y'all watched the time hops on your Facebook? Where has it? I'm still trying to get my marbles from 2019. And we're already walking into 2022. And as disruptive as 2019 through 2021 has been, it is helpful to remember the Christmas story begins by telling us Jesus was born in dark, unsettling times. God does the most. He is, y'all, I think he extra. You know what I'm saying? He got to be extra, Jerry. He's got to be extra that he can walk through and just put the stars and the moon. He can make 7.7 billion people. All of us, some of us with big butts, some of us with no butts, some of us with... That's how extra he is. He was born in unsettling times when King Irenaeus was governor of Syria. The Bible says in those days a decree went out. This decree mandated, y'all listen to this, mandated people disrupt their lives. COVID, the pandemic, that cancer, that divorce, that bankruptcy. It mandated people disrupt their lives and return to the place of their ancestral homes. Isolation. So that they could be assessed for a huge tax increase, which was over and above the already crippling tax that left most people on the brink of ruin. Their lives were governed by the whims of corrupt leaders who overtaxed people in every respect. So folks made do with hardly nothing. The most kind of seems like we've been living in that, don't it? I mean, some of us are like living for that stimulus check. I never got a stimulus check. I'm so mad about that. Where's my stimulus check?
This is just weird, Chris.
I completely agree. I slack-jawed might not even be the right way of describing how I'm feeling, because it righteous indignation and anger that this woman has stripped Christ of his glory and the great announcement, the great gift that we have in the birth of our Savior. I assure you that it has nothing to do with COVID, corrupt government, or stimulus checks. And, you know, she is desperately trying to basically manipulate this text to basically say, hey, listen, just like there was something great that happened at the time of Christ and it was dark, man. They had corrupt government officials and stuff. God's getting ready to do something big in your life too. It's going to be so big that, you know, people are going to, you know, the shepherds are going to rejoice to hear your story. No, they are not. And this is just so backwards, so anthropocentric rather than Christocentric. And the thing that gets lost in this is the actual Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the great news, the gospel itself that is there proclaimed in the announcement of the angels and the things that God had done and the lengths he went through to save us. It's all gone. And what it's replaced with is like a mouthful of sand and gravel, and people are laughing and applauding, and they don't even realize that they are being led like lambs to the slaughter by this woman who is clearly, if you know even just a little bit about the Bible, she is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and she isn't even wearing much sheep's clothing. She just sounds a lot like a wolf.
So I noticed that it just takes everything, as I was listening to you describe this, it takes everything that God has done, that he has accomplished in Jesus Christ, and essentially says, well, that's just prologue for what God is going to do in your life. He's got something even better for you, as though there's something better than saving the world through the sending of his son.
Yeah. And even the Apostle Peter, in one of his epistles, talks about how we are receiving the outcome of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. And I think back to C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters, you know, which is a really interesting book because it's a series of letters supposedly written by a master demon to a junior demon who's still in training. And one of the bits of advice that this master demon gives to this junior demon is that, listen, you can't overtly go after the gospel, so you need to make it Jesus and. Jesus plus social justice, Jesus plus, and he notes that once you successfully add to the scriptures, that what you added to it will eventually become the thing. And so you're right. She's treating what the biblical text says about what Christ has done for us as really kind of the introduction to the real story. The real story is your story rather than the story of what Christ has done for you. And so it's Jesus and you, but the emphasis is always going to end on you. And supposedly the thing that God is doing. And the reality is that this is dangerous on so many levels. One of the ways in which this is really overtly dangerous is it creates this expectation that I'm going to live this glorious, victorious, awe-inspiring life that, you know, people are going to be writing books about me in the future. And you live this out for, you know, a few years or maybe a decade, and you realize, you know what, I'm still going to be ordinary and nobody's going to remember me after I die. What that woman told me is not true. And as a result of it, you think Christianity isn't true. But here's the thing. She ain't preaching Christianity. The religion she's preaching is the religion of the devil. The religion that throws you back on yourself, that makes you God, makes you the important thing. And those who are listening to this message, they're participating in the devil's rebellion against God. And that's the dangerous thing. So what they end up going, well, I'm out of here. Christianity is not true. But they've never actually been taught true Christianity. That's the real sad part about it, because it doesn't take long for this to spin itself out and for you to see that these are empty, empty words.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You can find out more about Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesztc.org. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's Friday, December the 17th. We're coming to you live, and we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we wrap up the prophet Joel with Valley of Jehoshaphat, Valley of Decision, Glorious Future. And then we launch into Ephesians with introduction and greeting and spiritual blessings. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Are you looking for Christ-focused ornaments and gifts this Advent? Ad Crucem has a wide selection of Christmons, Christmas ornaments, greeting cards, artwork, housewares, jewelry, and churchwares to boldly and beautifully proclaim the good news of Christ given for us. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display this year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.